Today we're thinking about Mary's song, next week Zechariah's song, and the week after that the angel's song. They are, if you like, the first Christmas carols, songs of faith that come from the heart. And today we're thinking about Mary's song of faith. And the passage we're looking at this morning comes at the beginning of Luke's gospel, the start of the Christmas story. To give it context, you'll know the story, but let me remind you. An angel comes and visits Mary with the astonishing news that she would bear the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who is the hope of the nation and the world. She declares herself to be God's servant, literally God's slave, willing to do what she is asked. And then she goes on her journey to see her relative, Elizabeth, who is pregnant with the baby that we would know as John the Baptist. John the Baptist inside her womb leaps for joy at Mary's voice. Elizabeth declares herself to be blessed to be in the company of the Mother of the Lord. And Mary replies with these words, the passage we're going to hear from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." You'll know these words, no doubt. You probably know them as the Magnificat, so named in Latin thousands of years ago, because the first word of the song in Latin is magnified. Here on the screen is a modern artistic rendering of Mary and her song. Have a look at that. I wonder what you think of that. I thought it was quite striking. Often, as we approach the Christmas story, we think about Mary and what it must have been like to take on the job to be the mother of the Son of God. We think about the cost of her yes. We often think about her character. And scripture comments on that too, that she was unmarried and still a virgin. She clearly knew her scripture and quoted it. And she clearly was a God-fearing young woman. But that's not what our passage is about today. It's actually not about Mary at all. Mary is not the focus of Mary's song. Her song echoes other songs of women in the Bible. It echoes Hannah's song in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 2. But it's not about Mary. Mary wants us to look where she is looking as she sings, because she's looking to the God who saves by the baby she is carrying. She's announcing that a new day is dawning for her and for us, and for the whole world. And that's a cause for a song. And her song has two parts. It has a shift in tone halfway through. The first is all about grace and what God has done for her. And the second half is all about the grace God will show and has shown the world in his rescuing power. if you have your Bible open or on, keep the passage open in Luke chapter 1. So right away, Mary seems to have it right. She sings, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." This is a passage that we read so very often. But sometimes when you're reading the Word of God, new things jump out at you. And that was certainly the case when I was rereading this week. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Wow. Mary needs a Saviour. Even the mother of Jesus needs a Saviour. And that made me think, this woman knows who she is before God. That she's someone who needs a Saviour. And she knows that God is Lord and that he is her rescuer. She may be carrying the Son of God, but she's also carrying the answer to the problem of sin. I think Mary is recognising her own fallenness and her own frailty and the fact that she needs a Saviour. And I don't think I'd ever noticed that before. She needs a Saviour. Do you know that you need a Saviour? She knows who she is, her place of littleness when compared to God's greatness. And she praises God that she is seen and that she is known, and sings in verse 48, "For God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." She knows who she is when compared to God's greatness. It's a why me part of the song. Her words tell us that Mary felt totally unworthy to be chosen by God. Why me? I know I need a Saviour, that you are perfect and I am not. So how would you choose the likes of me? Isn't that what grace looks like? Mary stands before God, knowing who she is and knowing that the grace of God reaches further. And she sings in verse 49, "For the mighty one has done great things. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." From now on, she sings, "All generations will call me blessed." Wow. I guess that's Mary's poetic way of saying, look, God, you don't give me what I deserve. Instead, you show me mercy. And that reminds me of a bigger song, the song of grace and the song of what Jesus does for us on the cross. That we don't get what we deserve. In the first part of the song, Mary reflects on God's character to her, what she finds true and wonderful about God. The God who meets her where she's at, even the flawed person who needs a Saviour. The God who is merciful, who sees and who knows her and loves her all the same. The God who has a plan for her life. And as I thought about that this week, I thought, well, Mary's song is part of our story. And our song too. She starts her song where we all start, with a need to be met by God. And that's the first part of the song, God's grace to her that she does not deserve. And the second part of the song, Mary looks outward to the world, to what God has done already, and what the birth of the child she is carrying might mean. There's a bit of spiritual dynamite in the midst of this, about the power that will be unleashed and has been unleashed, and the rescue that comes from the power of sin for the world. From verse 51, Mary sings of God's justice and power. She sings this: "He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." I don't know how Mary knows this. She's not a political commentator. She's not a rabbi. She is a young girl from a rural backwater. But she seems to know. She seems to be able to see the big picture of what Christ's coming might mean. She's standing in the living room or the garden of a relative Elizabeth. She's singing a song that this baby will change the world. This baby is God's signal to power at every level of society. It isn't just a cute baby story. It's God coming to earth in human form. The God who will exalt the humble and bring rulers down from their thrones. If you open up the pages of the Old Testament, you'll see that again and again, played out, of the God who removes those from their thrones who oppose him or who are proud. I've been reading the book of Daniel this week, and there's a story, a powerful reminder of a God who topples the mighty from the throne and exalts the lowly. Mary is singing that this child will usher a new kingdom into being. A first shall be last, and the last shall be first kingdom. A love your neighbour kingdom. A blessed are the meek kingdom. She celebrates that the hungry will have good things, but the rich will be sent away empty. That sounds very much like God's topsy-turvy kingdom to me. I think she sings more than she knows. She sings of the God who shows mercy to those who don't deserve it, who chooses the lowly over the proud, who finds the hungry and fills them, the God who's on the side of those who can't take care of themselves. I wonder how she knows this. Well, that was Mary's song. The question I want to ask you today is this. It will come up on the screen. What is your song? Over the next few weeks, we're looking at the songs that are sung. And the question I want to ask is, what is your song? What Magnificat would you sing to proclaim what God has done? So, along with gathering your candles every Sunday, I want to invite you to an Advent discipline in these next few weeks. I want you to think about what God has done for you. And I want you to write it down. Make it a prayer. Sing it out. Because God has done good things. What has he done for you that warrants a song? As we approach the remembrance of his birth, of that child who has done good things, who grows up to be the one who does good things by stretching out his arms wide on the cross and dying for you, so you don't need to carry the weight of your sin. What song does that make you want to sing? Over these next few weeks, why don't you write that down? I'd love, if you did, that you shared it with us. Maybe there's a song, a songwriter in our congregation. Maybe we'll have a new song to sing together. So what's your song? I saw this paraphrase and picture of the reading today and it struck me. It's going to come up on the screen. Do spend a moment looking at that. And let me share to close the reading today another version of the reading, this time from the Message version of the Bible. Look at that, and I invite you to start forming the song that you sing to God in your head. So from the Message version. And Mary said, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Saviour, God. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattering the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud, the starving poor, sat down to a banquet, the callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now.